Hi, it's Phil Parr with another edition of Blind Like Me. I have no idea when this will run. It is being recorded on the, this is the 12th? Yeah, I think the 12th of the 12th of June. Hot day in East Texas, 99 degrees. We're going to reach 100 today. And our guest is a lady who calls herself Capri, and you're in Canada.
Capri, not Capri.
Capri. Okay, Jaws pronounces it Capri, doesn't it?
Jaws mangles it.
As it does. Jaws doesn't do too well with common names, obviously. Capri, which is a nice, pretty little name. Capri, there used to be, weren't there some clothing called Capri pants at one time?
Well, I call them me pants anyway.
Anyway. And you're in Canada. Where are you?
I'm in Alberta, in Calgary, Alberta.
Which,
it's kind of cool here.
Which I gather is about the middle of Canada, from between the two coasts.
No, it's western Canada. It's the second most western province.
Oh, the second most western. So you're on mountain time.
Yes.
And what is the temperature there?
I would guess it's about 15 to 20 degrees. Oh, this is Celsius.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what would be in the 70s Fahrenheit, maybe.
No.
Yeah. It's kind of coolish here.
I'll be right up. It's 98 here, and it's going to be this way in Lufkin, Texas, until the middle of October, probably. But, you know, what can you do about it but enjoy it?
Yeah, well, in the summertime, when it gets too hot here, I'm the only one who doesn't seem to wilt. Everybody else just, oh, it's hot, and I'm kind of, I want to go and do stuff.
Yeah, well, you'd love Texas if you love hot weather.
Yeah, although it can get too hot for me, too. When it gets to be in the late 80s and 90s, it does get to be a little on the hot side, but I don't mind going in to cool off then.
What is your level of vision? Do you have any?
I have light perception, and I can see some shadows. If they're right in front of me.
But that's all.
Yeah, and then certain things I can see a little ways away if it's the lighting is just right and that kind of thing. So,
what is the cause of your blindness? Why do your eyes not function?
I was born 2 months too early, and I was put in an incubator. I was given too much oxygen, and that blinded me.
Too much oxygen. That is, I hear that story.
Yeah.
From just lots of people.
It's pretty common from people that were born in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. Does that still happen?
I don't think it happens as much anymore. I think they figured out how much is too much and how little is too little, whereas back then they didn't have that quite figured out yet. And too little, you would risk being deaf or retarded, so they decided to go over a little bit and risk giving a little too much, if anything.
And that cost many people their eyesight, and of course, as we both know, being blind is not a death sentence. It's not something you can't live with. It's difficult, but it certainly can certainly be done. And you were born in Canada. You're a Canadian lifelong.
I'm sorry, your connection's cutting out again. What was that?
I say you were born in Canada. You're a lifelong Canadian.
Yeah, I was born in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
And educated at a Canadian school for the blind?
Yeah, I actually went to school here in Calgary. My mom, bless her heart, really fought to get schooling for the blind here in Alberta because they didn't have the heart to send me away to Brantford, Ontario, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, you see, you got to stay fairly close to home.
I got to stay at home. I was at home the whole time.
And is that right?
I either was driven to school or I busted, or in grade 6, I walked to school.
Oh, that's good.
So I got to stay at home. I didn't have to go away to school.
But you had other blind children in your school, or you were the only?
It started out that way. It was a segregated class within a sighted school, and somebody was brought in who knew Braille and who could teach us the basics, grade 1 and grade 2, and then we had what was called open area in grade 3, and that was our class. And two other sighted classes were in this big open area room. And so we got slowly integrated. Grade 4, we took separate classes with other sighted classes. And then in grade 5, I was completely segregated from the other blind kids that were in the school. And I was put into a regular sighted class. And then in grade 6... I was moved from that school to a school which is closer, and there were no blind students in that school. And so by grade six, I was already totally in the regular school system. I was getting my books ordered in and my tape and text ordered on tape and that kind of stuff.
Okay, they would refer to that now as mainstreaming.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, and it's good in a lot of ways. But you had met some other blind children. You knew some other blind people.
I met some in the beginning of the very beginning of school, but yeah.
How did you do in school? Did you like it? Did you do academically well?
I did academically well. Didn't like school any more than any other average kid.
I guess so. Graduated high school there in Canada. And what did you think you might like to do for your life to earn yourself a living? What did you think you wanted to do for a living when you got out of school, when you got out of high school?
When I got out of, well, by that time I decided I wanted to be a musician. But before that, like when I was a junior and senior and elementary school, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. But once I was out of high school, it was, music was what I wanted to go into anyway.
What instruments do you play?
Piano.
And you took piano all during school as a child?
Yep.
Were you able to find work as a piano player?
Oh, yeah. Well, the teacher used the classic music books that anybody used. Like, I studied through the Toronto Conservatory, and so that was, those were the books that were used. And the teacher would put the music that I was going to learn on the tape. And before that, Mom would help me out with the notes. She would tell me which note to play in the right hand and then which note the left. It was really complicated kind of at the beginning of music, but then once I got a little bit older and I was able to learn just by hearing, the teacher would put the music on tape for me and I would figure it out.
So you would figure out what notes to hit?
Yeah, because I have perfect pitch, so it was just a matter of developing a memory of learning something by listening to it.
Yeah. You say you went to a music conservatory. Did you get a degree in music?
Do I have a degree in music?
Did you get a degree in music?
I have my ARCT performance degree. It's to level after grade 10.
Yeah.
Which is the highest grade you can go in music.
Uh-huh.
The Toronto Conservatory, at least.
So you didn't want to play in nightclubs. You wanted to play on stage as a concert pianist.
I started out thinking that might be a good idea, but then I thought about it. I wasn't up for the competitions that a lot of concert pianists start out in. And the idea of touring all the time, I wasn't so sure about that.
Yeah.
Because my family wasn't going to be going with me everywhere, and I probably couldn't take everything with me. So, and besides which, once I got into these really higher levels of music, there was only so much of it that I liked. There was a lot of other stuff within these levels that I just didn't care to learn anyway. Some of it was just too much.
Yeah.
I wanted to learn music that I would like and that would give pleasure to other people. I studied a keyboard course when I was in my early 20s, and it was interesting, but the first part of it was 20th century composers, and a lot of Schoenberg, and that they wrote a lot of notes that maybe looked pretty on the page, but they sounded awful when they were played back. As far as I'm concerned, it wasn't music anymore. A lot of people just forgot what music was actually meant to be when they wrote this stuff, I think.
Well, it's all right to think that. I think that's good. Did you like the pop tunes of the day, the music you heard on the commercial radio? Did you like any of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked some and hated others.
yeah.
Yep.
Well, have you been able to support yourself playing music?
Well, I've been able to make it. Well, I can't afford my own. I mean, living costs are just through the roof.
Yeah.
And rent is through the roof. And it's really skyrocketed over the past couple of years. So, no, I can't afford to live in my own place, unfortunately, not here.
what do you do with your music? Where do you play these days?
Well, I play at ballet schools during the year.
Uh-huh.
And I used to play at a hotel, but that hotel has been torn down now. And even before they tore it down, I had to quit because the pianos were not in very good shape anymore and nothing was being done to fix them. But I used to play at a hotel, and I've been playing at ballet schools through most of my career.
Mm-hmm. Ballet school, so you play while the kids dance.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good living. It's not a whole lot of hours, but sometimes it can be. If you get a year where you get a whole bunch of classes, you can make quite a bit. But if you have a year where your class schedule is kind of lean, then you're not going to make as much. And it varies from year to year, too.
Do you plan to do this, just this, the rest of your life? Or
I don't know what I plan to do for the rest of my life. I don't have... I don't know what's going to be around the next bend.
Well, no, none of us do, but do you have plans to learn to do something else, to maybe do a vending stand or to do work as a customer relations or something else, or you think you can make it as a musician?
I have no idea. It all depends on what comes along and what I feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
I really couldn't tell you.
Okay, now one of the reasons I wanted to interview you is your rather unusual predilection for animals. You have some unusual pets. Tell us about that.
Well, the very first one I got is a sugar glider. That's an Australian species of possum, and her name is Mia. She is the size of a hamster, but her personality is more like disposition, I'd say, is more like a cat or a dog. She's very, very affectionate because she grew up with me and was spoiled. I read about them on the Internet because I went looking on the Internet for pet groups. And there were exotic pet groups and stuff, and I came across these little guys, and I was really curious about what they were. So I asked questions on the Internet, and then you're always advised to consult your Fish and Wildlife organization to see if whatever you want is legal. So I did. And they said, yes, they were legal. So then I called a store here, which I know is an exotic pet store. They have, they're more likely to have exotic animals than any other pet store here in Calgary. So I called them and said, do you have sugar gliders? And they said, yes, we do. So then it was a matter of getting my parents to say yes, which was a bit of a struggle, but once they did, it was no problem. Mia has been a lot of laughs ever since we got her. And sugar gliders look a little bit like a flying squirrel and a raccoon and a chipmunk combined. They have kind of a face like a raccoon, my mom says. And because they've got stripes on their body, a stripe down their back and on their legs and things, they have a membrane between their front and back legs like a flying squirrel, so they glide in the wild from tree to tree. And they have a long tail. So they're quite cute. If you can get a really affectionate one when they're young and spoil them rotten, you'll end up with a pretty good pet. And then I have a short-tailed opossum, too. He's a little different. He has a shorter tail. It's not a fluffy tail. And it's he doesn't look quite as cute as Mia, apparently. But I don't know. I still think he's cute. But so then I've had dormice, which look kind of like Mia, except that they're a lot smaller, and, of course, they're rodents. They're not possums. And chinchilla.
But right now you have two possums as pets.
Yeah, I have Mia, and Cedric is the short-tailed opossum he has a longer face and a shorter tail than Mia, and he doesn't have any stripes on his body. So the two of them, it would be neat if they got along, but they don't. But it would be neat if they did, because they would be so comical looking together. With Mia's dainty little face and Cedric's huge schnoz, it would look hilarious if they got along. But
they do not get along.
No. Well, you don't want to try that, because short-tailed opossums are a solitary species, and they're as likely to kill whatever they come in contact with if it's the same size as them. Look at them. So you don't want to try putting Cedric in with anything that's close to his size, he might just try to have it for lunch.
But Mia is a lot bigger than Cedric, right?
No, Mia is actually a little bit smaller.
Really?
Yeah. She was larger at the beginning. Cedric was a puny little thing when I got him, but he has grown. He can fit in one of my hands. But if he was to get any larger, I would have to use two hands to pick him up, I think, because he is definitely on the large side.
But we're thinking that Cedric might decide to have Mia for lunch.
I put them together.
So you've never tried that?
No.
They are in cages?
Cedric is in a plastic cage, and Mia is in a wire cage because she needs to climb a lot. And Cedric kind of runs in his wheel and more and plays around on the ground. And Mia is the kind of possum that likes to climb around, so she has a wire cage, and it's set inside a bin because sugar gliders throw their food and make a bit of a mess outside the wire. So it's kind of good to set it in something if you're going to have one of these little critters.
And they're in the house? They're in the living room?
They're in my room.
Well, they're in your room.
Yep.
Now, when you take one of these animals out of its cage to play with or to love or to pet, is there a chance they would attempt to escape from you?
Not during the day. At night, though, because they're nocturnal, they're active at night. And Mia won't try to get away on me ever because she's extremely addicted to contact. So even if I take her out during playtime, she'll just sit and cuddle. Cedric is a bit different. He likes to play around more, so he would probably want to run around and explore if I tried letting him out, which what I do with him is I'll play with him by sticking my hand in the cage at night, so he can play with my hand inside the cage. But during the day, I'll usually take Mia out and I'll carry her around in the pouch. They're both marsupials, so if they were to have babies, the sugar gliders they have a pouch that they would carry their babies in.
Mm-hmm.
Short-tailed opossums are different. They don't have pouches. They're kind of an odd marsupial, but I won't go into that here. Sugar gliders, they love to be carried around inside a pouch because that's how they were born. So it's very easy to take Mia places in public. I take her to work with me, take her to the bank, and she's always welcome wherever she goes, and she's really well-behaved.
So you take her to work with you?
Yep.
In other words, when you go play for your ballet class, you have Mia in a pouch laying on the piano?
No, she's not laying on the piano, but that would get in my way. The pouch is a cloth pouch, and you wear it around your neck, kind of like a necklace.
Uh-huh.
Thing. And it has a drawstring, so you can close it if you want to shut it for whatever reason or if you want to leave it open. And I usually keep it open because Mia's trustworthy now. I trust her not to try and escape during the day. So I often leave the pouch open when I'm carrying her around. But, I take her with me, and she's around my neck.
And I'm sure that to begin with, people found that a little unusual.
A lot of times they don't even know that she's there. They just think it's a little money pouch until the thing moves.
Yeah.
Then they'll look, and of course I can't see if they're looking. My mom might be there, and she might notice that they're staring at it, and she'll kind of chuckle and explain, oh, she's got a little pet in there. And people, their reactions are often quite cute. No way, what is it?
And then you will say, well, it's a possum.
Yeah.
And they'll say,
no
oh,
way,
it's
you
a
got
leader.
A possum in there. I thought they were bigger than that, and then I have to explain, well, this isn't the kind of possum you're thinking of. This is a different species. And of course, they see Mia, and for the most part, they're just totally charmed by her. And it helps that Mia is so calm. She just sits there and laps up all the attention.
And this possum does not attempt to bite you? Ever?
No.
Never?
No.
Never.
At the very beginning, when I brought her home from the pet store, the move through her, and she was a bit defensive, and then she would snap a little bit, but never anything serious.
Uh-huh.
she has been handled right from when she was a baby by the pet shop staff and then by me. So she's always been pretty well socialized. So she isn't the sort that would try to bite. There are others that will. I had a sugar glider that I got years ago. It was already an adult when I got it, and it was, I don't know what kind of socialization it had, if any. That one was, I couldn't touch it. She wouldn't let me touch her, and because she would snap and bite, and her bites, they were actual bites. They weren't just little nips. So I couldn't touch that one. I ended up placing her in a home where they had other sugar gliders, and so she got to be friends with them, which worked out.
Yeah, because for a blind person, there would really be no point in having a pet you couldn't touch.
Well, yeah, that's why I wouldn't have fish because, well, I can see fish in, like, large fish, exotic fish in a tank, like in a library. I love watching those really big ones. But for me to, like, have a goldfish or something, that wouldn't work out. I don't even take care of plants very well. I mean, I'll try to take care of somebody's fish for them, but I can't see what's going on with them. And I'm not good with plants. but yeah, that was a bit of a drag when that other sugar glider. I couldn't get that one to be socialized, the sugar glider, so I had to give that one up. But Mia has been very rewarding.
Yeah, it would be kind of a drag if you had this pet that she couldn't touch.
Yeah, it's not easy to have something like that around that you can't touch. But what's good is that you can still take care of it, even if you can't touch it. I could still get in there and give her food and her water. I could take her out of the cage inside the pouch, though, and then I'd close the pouch up so she couldn't get out, and then I'd clean the cage.
How did you get her in the pouch?
They go in during... Every morning, they go into the pouch to settle down for the day. So then it's just a matter of opening the cage and closing the pouch up while they're in there. And because they're already inside the pouch, you don't need to worry about getting them in there because that's where they're going to go for the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in that respect, they're really easy to take care of, much easier than... let's say a really vicious dwarf hamster, for example. I've had some pretty unpleasant experiences with some dwarf hamsters in pet shops, and you can't put them in pouches. They would chew through. They make their nest inside the cage. So if you want to take them out, you have to go in there with your hand and take them out. Well, that's out of the question with a dwarf hamster. It's just going to bite you, and when they bite, they make you bleed. So there are some hamsters that I personally wouldn't be able to take care of because they're too vicious.
Yeah. Bleeding is just no fun, is it? No.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
But obviously you tried this to see if you could do it, and you couldn't.
I had hamsters when I was a kid, and they were friendly, so that was no problem. It's only the mean ones that I couldn't take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but for hamsters, you'd have to, if you want to get a hamster, it's possible for a blind person to take care of one. It's entirely possible if that's the kind of pet they want. But they have to look around for a disposition. They have to make sure the hamster's not going to bite them when they put their hand in the cage. Make sure they're not going to maybe get the pet store staff to pick one up for them see what happens. If the hamster doesn't bite, then maybe they're suitable. Mm-hmm. And if they do bite, then you have to pass them by as you know, not the kind of pet for you.
Let's talk about Cedric. Is it Cedric? Is that the name? The other possum you have? Hello?
What?
You say one possum is Mia, the other one is Cedric. Is that right?
That didn't come through.
What is your other possum's name?
Oh, his name is Cedric, and he's a year old. He's 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And Mia is 10 years old.
Now, does Cedric bite?
No, he doesn't bite. He sniffs. He'll sniff your hand for treats. He wants whenever you stick your hand in the cage or in the pouch, he's looking to see if you have food on you.
But you don't take him to work with you?
No, because he has... Well, I hope that I'll be able to next year. I need to work on him some more, but because he's messed in his pouch a couple of times. And that's something I just don't want to be dealing with in public. So until I can be sure that he's not going to mess in his pouch, I'd rather just leave him.
So he relieved himself in his pouch.
Yeah. And I think that happened. That started last year because I took him in a store where there were cats, and I think that made him nervous. And I took him out, and then I put him back in there, and all of a sudden his pouch got dirty.
Oh.
And then he's been kind of... Sometimes he'd mesh on the pouch, sometimes he wouldn't after that. It's hard to predict.
That's I would think, a little unusual for an animal to do that in the pouch.
Well, yeah, mostly, yeah. They don't normally do that, but sometimes nerves can set in. Or if an animal has been sleeping for a while, and sometimes they'll just wake up and then... Just like us,
boom.
They have to go.
Yeah.
That happens, too. Mia has been really good. Not all sugar gliders are as good as she is. Some of them mess in their pouch quite a lot, I guess. Mia has always been good in that, but she hasn't done it. She's always been able to hold it until nighttime when she goes back in her cage. So she's been a really good, very easy one to take care of and easy to bring with me wherever I went.
All right, now, did you say that you had had chinchillas also, or a...
Yeah, I have a chinchilla. Yeah, she's really sweet. She holds nicely. She's much calmer than any other chinchilla I've ever seen. The breeder wanted me to have her in particular because she was so calm, and I can see why now.
Well, you know, I'm being totally blind. I don't know what does a chinchilla look like. Are they like what size are they? Describe one for us.
They look kind of like a cross between a rabbit and a squirrel and Mickey Mouse. They have a kind of a rabbit face and Mickey Mouse ears, and they have a bushy tail like a squirrel, and their body is plump and plushy like a rabbit's. So they're cute looking things. And Abby, she's full grown and she's about 1 pound, a little, maybe a couple of ounces over.
Oh.
She's pretty small, but she's a lot bigger than my possums are. So she definitely needs to be held with two hands. And she's just a nice size. And although they look like rabbits and they look like squirrels, they're not related to either. They're more... closer related to guinea pigs and degus.
Yeah?
Yeah, which is really funny because they're nothing at all like those other two.
And you keep this animal, this chinchilla, in a cage in your room?
Yep.
Okay, what else? Two possums, a chinchilla, what else? Is that
That's
it?
It. That's Although it. We have had other pets in the past. I had my mom's budgie in my room one point.
You had what now?
I had my mom's budgie in my room at one point because my dad didn't like budgies in the living room. But we ended up giving him to a friend because that person had lost their bird. And my mom said, well, since we can't have the budgie in the living room and I'm not in your room that much, we might as well let Elizabeth have him. So we let him go. And I've had other pets over the years. But I've found that taking care of these little exotic pets is much easier than taking care of any dog or cat.
Have you ever had a guide dog?
No, I don't intend to either. They're quite expensive to keep, and there's also the poop problem. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah, they could be expensive, and they are a lot of trouble, guide dogs are, I think.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of people swear by them. A lot of blind people think that's the way to go. Of course.
And it's like if that's what they're willing, if that's what they're able to handle, then that's personally, I don't think I'd be cut out to have a seeing eye dog. taking care of a big dog, I would have to pay someone to clean up the yard because I wouldn't be able to do it myself.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty weak stomach as far as that goes.
But you take care of these two possums and this chinchilla by yourself?
Yeah, but you know what? Their stuff doesn't stink like a big dog or cat. Cedric comes close, and
right?
his is just on the edge of what I can tolerate.
Uh huh.
But that's why I would never have a mouse, because mice stink.
Well,
big time.
You said you did have a mouse at one time, right?
I never had a mouse at one time. My sister did, and I don't remember that very well. But I did work with mice in school, and I learned in a grade 5 class. I did a report on, or grade 6, I did a report on mice, and so I got to work with the mice that were in the science class, and I learned that these real mice are nothing at all like the mice that you read about in romantic little kitty books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good lesson there.
Yes. Nothing compares to Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse he's a nice little piece of fiction.
And those guys that you find under the stove.
They're not like that.
No, they're not like that.
But you know what, though? They don't smell. They're not like the pet mice that you get in the store. We have had mice in our kitchen closet. We've had them in the storage shelves downstairs,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't make a big smell. But we had to get them out before they died in there.
Oh yeah.
But pet mice that you get in the pet shop, I don't know why they smell so awful, but they do.
Well, are they the same kind of mouse that's a kitchen variety mouse?
No, I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so is because the ones that come in your house in the winter don't make that awful smell.
Yeah.
That the ones in the pet store do, and that's why I think they're a different type.
I wonder if the difference is what they feed them.
I don't know.
Aren't mice granivorous, aren't they, really?
Well, they'll eat pretty much anything, but yeah, grain. And when we've had to trap mice, we use peanut butter. That tends to really attract them.
It does. I've used this. I've done the same thing. Peanut butter, because peanut butter has a very distinctive smell, and it works very well in a mouse trap.
Yep.
Much better than cheese.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yes. Exactly.
Everybody thinks mice love cheese, and they might. I've never talked to one, but they do love peanut butter. You're right about that. Yeah,
cheese, as far as the cheese goes, I got to tell you, both my possums love cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you feed these possums out of your hand? Will they eat from your hand?
Oh, definitely.
No question about that.
That's right.
Well, that's unusual and amazing that you would choose. I guess you've done a lot of research, internet research on possums before you got one, and you knew, you thought you could handle it before you took on this task.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really wanted a pet too, a pet of my own. So I got this one, and I did a lot of research, and these guys, like sugar gliders especially, they were said not to make much of a smell, and they didn't chew up things like a rodent would, and they don't shed because they're so small that, or if they did shed, they were too small that it would be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be noticeable then. So I decided to start off with this little sugar glider, and it just kind of took off from there.
Is Cedric aware that Mia exists?
I think he is, because when I put their two pouches side by side, and I put them both around my neck, sometimes I'll do that, Cedric will sniff like mad. He'll squirm inside his pouch. I can feel him. And then it's kind of like I can feel his nose kind of going up against Mia's pouch. Like he would like to get to her, but he can't, huh?
Yeah, Mia's going, "Don't open the pouch, baby. Come on."
Well, Mia doesn't care. She's just like, she takes any kind of rubbing as attention, so she just enjoys it, whatever it is, whether it's Cedric or me.
I wonder if she's aware that Cedric would like to have her for lunch.
I don't think so. Otherwise, she would be pretty nervous. And I don't think she would know that.
It's like they say that maybe it's a wasp or a bee or a hornet or something. When it stings you, it dies, but it doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So it stings you without, you know, realizing that that's signing a death warrant. If they knew that, they wouldn't sting you.
Yeah, that's right. They're they don't reason, and they don't know what's happening. They just act on instinct, whatever that instinct tells them to do.
Well, what are your plans? Just have these two possums, or do you have plan other pets, other exotic pets? I guess you'd call them exotic, or they're a little different than normal people.
They're exotic pets. They're unique pets, whatever you want to call them. But I will be getting more in the future, but not yet. I'm going to wait until Mia's gone before I get anything else.
A couple more questions. What is the lifespan of a possum like Mia?
She's 10 years old now, and they can live to be 10 to 15 years of age. So she's getting up there in years.
Uh-huh. What sort of noise do these animals make?
I could pull up some samples on my computer. They make a little barking noise. Hang on. I'll go up to my computer and pull up a sound file, see if I can show you.
Well, okay. That you can't do them with your voice. You haven't learned to do the sound they make.
Well, my voice doesn't quite do it.
Come on now, you could do that. I can bark. We're good at it. I drive my dogs crazy barking at them.
Yeah, actually, you do a pretty good job of it too.
And my dogs have. I had a dog several years ago that obviously her ears were hurt by the train that comes by, so she would ow when the train came by. She taught the other dog to do it, and they've passed it down through. Of course, Charlie, the original dog that did it, is dead, and now we have two dogs that didn't know Charlie, but they do it. It's a funny thing. It's a custom that's been passed down. When the train comes by, you howl, and I don't think it hurts either one of these dogs' ears, but I try to howl along with them to make them feel comfortable.
Well, you know, that might just upset him more. I don't know, but
we
had a dog that would bark at sirens and things, even sirens on TV.
Yeah.
This is the sound that Mia makes when she wants some attention.
Right.
Engine.
All right. That's the sound that Mia makes when she wants attention. Now, is that her, or is that the computer?
That's the computer, but it was the recording of her.
You recorded it, and it's on your computer?
Yeah.
All right, now, does Cedric make a different noise?
He doesn't cry for attention, but he hang on, I got to turn this off.
Okay. He doesn't.
Yeah, Cedric makes, he has made kind of a growling sound. I'll try to find one.
All right, we're just about out of time, but if you have a minute here, we'll...
Okay, well, I should maybe give you a site to go to.
That'd be a good idea. This is your website, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's Mia's site, but it has a whole bunch of sounds and information on Mia and Cedric and
very good.
All their sounds.
All right, give us the URL.
It's www.beep, like... beep.com.
BEEP.com.
/ members.
All right.
Right after the word members comes the number 97, like members 97.
Members, M-E-M-B-E-R-S, members.
Yep.
97.
97.
Okay.
/
Okay.
And this is all one word, Mia Rascal, M-I-A-R-A-S-C-A-L.
Mia Rascal.
Yeah.
And she is a rascal.
Yeah, she is.
All right. Capri.
Sites. One more word about sites. I wish that more people would, on these, you know, these registration forms, that the one thing that a blind person is always coming across on the Internet that they really need help with is the verification codes, or the visual codes that they always require you to enter, and the screen readers don't read them. So I wish people designing sites would scrap that verification code or put in an audio generator. And I've been refused by sites when I requested that they put in an audio generator in place of the verification visual code.
All right. Well, we'll go look at your website, and I'll let you know when we're going to air this, Capri. And thank you much, and good luck.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Handyman list, sir.
The thing I like the best about the blind handyman list, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the handyman list, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the blind handyman list, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the blind handyman list, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com. Blind Sites. Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now, with this week's Blind Sites, here's Tim Cummings.
Are you a real old-time radio nut? Well, I have found the perfect site for you. And the best part is it's totally free, especially if you're a blind, visually impaired person. It's called www.fear, that's F as in Frank, E-A-R, youcanhear.com. This site has thousands and thousands of old-time radio shows on the site. What you do is you go to the site, you sign up for free, totally free, as a blind or visually impaired person or person with a disability, and you can download thousands of hours of old-time radio programming or play them at your computer right on the site. They're in MP3 format, everything from Amos and Andy to Johnny Dollar to Box 13 to Lone Ranger, Fibber McGee and Molly, tons and tons of radio shows that'll give you hours and hours of listening pleasure. The site's very easy to navigate. I would give it a screen reader friendliness rating of a 9. The site again is www.fearyoucanhear.com. For Blind Sites, this is Tim Cummings saying, keep on blind sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sites. In common, so it must have been. Well,
excuse me, of being a talker, huh?
He said you were a talker.
I like to talk, but you know what? I don't do good on a CB. I can't ad lib. I can't just talk nothing.
In other words, you have to have a subject to talk about or what?
Well, I don't ad-lib well. When I'm talking, yeah. I usually want to know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, that's more than many of that's more than lots of us can say.
I wish I could ad lib. I admire the people that can do that.
That can just ad lib. But you know, most of that CB talk is just come back, good buddy. What's your 20? How you coming in? How you got your ears on? Most of that's just BS. You know.
That's about all I can do.
Well, that's about all it is. We have new thing like that. We have this thing called a chat room where blind people go, and they do kind of the same thing. It's sort of like the old CB talk.
I would not do well at that. I don't have a computer, Phil.
That's what I understood, that you had decided not to do computers.
Well, it's not that I have decided. I think my brain has decided it for me. I am technically challenged. Actually, I'm just technically ignorant.
I cannot
even dial my own cell phone, Phil. That's why I have a flip phone. At least I can answer it and hang it up.
Can you, now your level of vision, you don't have any vision anymore.
No, I was legally blind for 17, and after they took the tumor out that they had overlooked for 17 years, I've been totally blind now for 14.
Yeah, we want to talk about that in a minute, but computers, there's a lot of fear associated with computers. In 97, my wife, who is kind of a forceful kind of a lady, I mean, she's a lawyer, and when she says jump, I jump. And I don't mind admitting that, and I love her to death. I've been married to her, I've been married to 8 out of 17, 8 happy years out of 17 ain't bad. No, I'm only kidding.
Right.
It's a joke, Margie.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just a joke.
Well, you can if you want to. Anyway, she just decided, Phil Parr, you're going to learn computers. She made me, and I don't regret a minute of it.
Well, see, I don't have anybody to help me. My husband's worse than I am. He can't even turn his own phone on, and he can see.
Well, you'd have to have somebody to help you. Yes, you would. There's no question about that. So you're not going to do that. It's something you're not going to do.
At this time, you know what? It would cost me so much, and it's so expensive to get the talking programs. And if I had something specific to do on it, I would do it and I would learn it.
Yeah.
But to go to all of that expense for nothing.
Yeah.
And for, you know, I just have, if I was going to start up a business, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I could learn it. If I wanted to, I could do it.
Thank you.
I can do anything I want to.
I'm glad you said that, because if you wanted to,
I would do it.
And if you were going to start a business, the commission
would. This isn't a matter of wanting or not wanting. This is a matter of, not a matter of needing. Because I can do anything I want to except drive a car.
If you were starting a business, the Commission for the Blind would pay for it.
Would they?
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of a business I'd want to do. I have thought about it, but I can't think of a business I would do. I used to be an exterminator.
You did?
Yeah, as I was going blind, I was exterminating.
You were spraying bugs as you go. Let's start. You were a sighted child up until age, didn't you say 17? You were normally sighted?
No. I started going blind when I was 30. Yeah, let's see. I was legally blind when I was 36. I started in 74. I'm 68 now. No, I was 30. In my 30s when I started going blind.
Is that right? So up until then, you were driving the car, having a normal life. You had your kids.
Yeah.
You had a husband. You raised your kids. You were taking them to school and being a soccer mom or whatever you wanted to do. Didn't even think about being blind, did you?
No.
And what happened? Tell us what happened.
I started going blind. I had a friend tell me I was writing my name all over the ticket. She was concerned about me. She said, you need to go see an eye doctor. See, I didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
I would go blind in one eye, and the vision would come back in the other eye. And unless you close one of your eyes, you don't realize you're not seeing out of the other eye.
I'll be damned. What a thing.
And I went to, this is so, I usually don't go. I mean, that's just beating a dead horse. They did everything known to God and man. They really did. They did, ran all the tests for years, for about 9 years. My neurologist was putting me back in the hospital, running every test they had. At that time, now, they didn't have the MRI. And nothing ever showed up. And I had that little tumor from day one. It was slowly growing. And let me tell you, I fed that sucker good.
You did?
Yes, I did. I even went to Fort Lauderdale. They told me it was, see, when they can't diagnose it, they give you MS. So I was doing everything for MS that I heard of. And one was hyperbaric oxygen treatments. So I'm sure I fed it really good with all those hyperbaric oxygen treatments I took.
But it never showed up as a tumor. I mean,
not
never...
as a tumor. They did spinal. He did four spinal different spinal taps. I had CAT scans, a head scans. You name it, he did it, and nothing ever showed up. And I don't understand it. I think, if I really want to get philosophical about it, maybe it was meant for me to go blind. Who knows? But because I know they were diagnosing tumors at that time. This was in 1974.
Well, sure they were.
And it never showed up. And I heard at Emory 17 years. I mean, my doctor finally said, you're wasting your money coming to see me every 6 months. There's nothing else I can do. So I just went home and whatever, did my thing. But I did hear they were doing research on damaged nerves at Emory Hospital in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And I made me an appointment and went down there and saw a neuro-ophthalmologist.
Okay.
Which I didn't know there were any such things at that time.
I didn't either.
He did a, and this was, they're a neuro-ophthalmologist. But she wanted to, I told her what was wrong with me. And she said, well, I would like for you to have an MRI. And had an MRI that day or the next day soon after that. And she called me on the telephone and she said, Margie, she said, I normally don't tell people this over the phone, but she said, I know after being with you that it will be okay to tell you over the phone. She said, you have a tumor. And I said, I do. She said, yeah, don't worry, it's not malignant. I said, how do you know? She said, because it's a meningioma, and I'm not pronouncing that right, but she said it's never been found to be malignant.
So it isn't malignant, but it is there.
It is there, and she said, I didn't know it at the time, and she said, I want you to see Dr. Barrow, I think. Anyway, I had an appointment with a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
A neurologist, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, within days, and then within another week, I was having it yanked out. But I do know now that tumor was the size of your fist.
And
it had been laying on my optic nerve and totally destroyed it. He tried his best to save me a little vision, but because I had a teeny-tiny bit when I went in.
Yeah.
But when I came out, I didn't have any.
Now, this was how long after you had started going blind that they finally found? 17
years.
17 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And what bothered me, the only thing that bothered me the most was I had been bowling that 17 years. And I bowled on with the sighted folks. And I went back to the bowling alley about, I guess a month or so after I was having brain surgery makes you weak.
Yeah.
I now know what weak is. But when I got my strength back, and I could not keep my ball on the alley, I threw it over into the other alley. And it upset me. That's one of the few things that upset mm-hmm. me, and it did. And I didn't try anymore.
You couldn't see?
No, I was totally blind then.
Yeah. Well,
although I may have light perception. I don't know. I see the same thing when my eyes are closed that I see when my eyes are open.
And I've heard other people who had some sight at one time say, I think I can see light, but I'm not sure. So that's not uncommon.
Oh, I'm glad to know that. I was beginning to wonder about myself.
No.
But anyway, I haven't gone back to bowling, so I've gone to gambling.
Well, you might wonder about yourself, but that ain't one of the things you need to worry about.
Well, I'm glad to know that.
You are right, Margie. I love you.
I'm glad to know that.
But listen,
I'm thinking, you ought to know.
But
how can you not know?
There are blind people who bowl, and they're, it can be done.
But I don't. I'm gambling now.
You're just a gambler now. Well, all right, let's talk about your gambling. Where do you gamble? What do you play? Tell me about it.
I play Texas Hold'em. No Limit, mm-hmm. Texas Hold'em. We have tournaments here, and they're all over the place around here, and there are two places. I go to Diamond Dave Steakhouse and Runaround Sue's. The same man owns both places.
Wait a minute. I don't think we established where you live.
I live in Ackworth, Georgia.
In what, Georgia?
Ackworth.
Ackworth, Georgia.
Ackworth, Georgia.
All right. What part of Georgia? Where is that, in Georgia?
Let's see. If you're in Atlanta going north, you would go to Marietta, to Kennesaw, then Acworth.
Acworth. So north of Atlanta, 50, 60 miles.
About 35.
North of Atlanta, Acworth, Georgia. And they have two places there where they play Texas Hold'em.
Well, they have many, many places, Phil. A lot of places. But that's the two places I play, is Diamond Days and Runaround Sioux.
All right. How'd you get into this?
Well, actually, I saw it first on TV. Now, I'd been going to the casinos for years. I started going. I went to Biloxi for the first time in, I think, about 1990.
Yeah.
And, oh, I just love the slot machines.
Yeah, me too.
I can sit there and just do my thing. And I don't have to have help. I hate the videos now. I have to have help for the videos.
Now,
I'm through with them.
Do you play with money in your hand, or
no,
do you play with credits?
Where?
You, on a slot machine. You can do either one.
I can do either one.
I like having the money in my hand and dropping quarters in.
Me too. And you know why? If you play credit, you're going to lose every dime you got.
I get confused. If you're playing credits and say you got 300 and you push a button and you don't win anything, then you got to say 297, 294.
That's not the way you do that, Phil.
Well, how do you do it then?
Well, all right, if you put a $20 bill in a quarter machine.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to get 80 quarters.
That is true.
All right, now I play the two coin slots most of the time.
Okay.
All right, what you have is 40 pulls.
That's right.
So you count 40. You don't go subtracting.
Well, you could do that.
I mean, it's easier to go forward. It's easier to add than it is. It's
wait a minute.
To
wait
count
a minute.
Up to 40
wait
than
a minute.
It is to subtract.
What if you win 50? Then what
it
do you do,
matter.
Sweet pea?
It does not matter. You make your 40 pulls. You make your 40 pulls, and it doesn't matter what you got in there. Drop it out and put it in the bucket. Put you another $20 bill in the machine and start over.
No. On our vacation. We'll see you sometime in July, about the 25th of July, for another Blind Handyman. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.